Final horn arrives, and North Carolina stuns number one Duke, 88-72, a wire-to-wire victory for the Tar Heels, who send a statement to all the land, winning at Cameron Indoor for the first time since 2016. Roy Williams has 8 wins all-time against the nation's number one.
But that wasn't the story last night. North Carolina beat Duke, number 8 over number 1 at Duke, 88-72. The story is Zion Williamson. And he was hurt in a crazy, weird situation where he blew out his shoe, his Nike shoe. More on that in a moment. And he hurt his knee. And here's Mike Krzyzewski talking about Zion Williamson, who only played 31 seconds last night, and what the prognosis is for the star player.
Mild knee sprain. The knee is stable. We don't know how long he'll be out. It puts everyone in a state of, you know, trying to figure it out. Playing an outstanding team. That's not a good situation.
Oh, poor Mike Krzyzewski. I'm not worried about Mike Krzyzewski. He puts you in a tough spot. That's part of sports, man. You have injuries. It happens at every level. It just happens to be Zion Williamson, who's supposedly going to be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, and everybody's talking about how he's going to make $1 billion. And as a black eye on Nike, Nike is catching all kinds of jokes today because their shoe doesn't hold up. There was Puma deleted a tweet that they had on their account. Pumas wouldn't have done that. And I liked one that I saw. Adidas has a new slogan. Have you heard Adidas' new slogan?
I have not.
We may be involved in an FBI investigation, but at least our shoes stay together and work. Yeah. So Nike's going to catch some heat. Their stock price is down just a little bit today, although it's, you know, whether it's directly affected by that, I don't know. But Zion Williamson's going to have to negotiate with shoe companies.
Yeah.
And is he going to trust Nike after his shoe blew out and he almost had a severe knee injury? But all the talk is about Zion Williamson, and North Carolina flat out just punked Duke last night. Zion went out, and Duke didn't play defense. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, Duke can sit here and blame that on Zion Williamson being hurt. I understand they were all hyped up. But they have McDonald All-Americans over the place. They had, I think, 4 other ones. Reddish and Tyus Jones and R.J. Barrett are 3. And without Zion Williamson, you still have to play defense. And they never even got back on defense. North Carolina got easy bucket after easy bucket. So I don't know if Duke just lost focus, but how do you lose complete focus in a rivalry game like that? If it's the greatest rivalry in sports, as ESPN kept bragging about it, and so did Jay Billis. Of course, he was part of it. He was a Dukie. Then maybe you should be able to regain your focus and put together a good effort. And the effort wasn't that great last night for Duke. So it's all the talk today. Zion Williamson, his injury, how long he'll be out, who knows. Then there's talk, of course, people saying, well, Zion shouldn't even play anymore. Why take a chance on getting hurt when he's going to be the number one overall pick? Scottie Pippen said a few weeks ago, he said, if I had any advice to Zion Williamson, they asked what would his advice be. He says, don't play anymore. Don't risk injury because you're going to make a ton of money in the NBA. Well, yeah, but you're a player. You want to compete. You want to be on team, chance to win a national championship with Duke. I mean, that's easy said for people from the outside, isn't it?
It is, and what kind of precedent does that set if you just stop playing in the middle of the season?
Right.
And not hurt yet.
Which we're already seeing that with football players skipping bowl games.
Exactly.
Where does it
that's
end?
That's right where I went with that when I thought of that quote or whatever that Scottie Pippen says, stop playing. Well, that's – now you're even getting in earlier into the season than the football players are not playing in bowl games. And it's
right.
What do you want to do? Now you're going to stop recruiting those guys.
Well, exactly, which may help with the one-and-done problem.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way, that could be a help.
Yeah. It's like, why am I going to go out and try to win a championship with these guys if they're going to stop playing halfway?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we saw it with Kansas. Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre.
Oh, yeah.
There'd be a loose ball. They would not go after the loose ball. I saw it in person. Wichita State and Kansas up in Omaha. Kelly Oubre, there was a loose ball. Wichita State just dove after it and got it. And Kelly Oubre did not want to get hurt.
I'm not putting my body on line.
I'm not putting my body in line because I'm going to be a first-round NBA draft pick and a lottery pick. And we saw Andrew Wiggins the same way. That's what made Josh Jackson so cool to me was he did get on the floor and get after it, and he was putting his body at risk.
Oh, yeah.
But there's so much money involved now in sports that you do have these one-and-done players going, well, yeah, okay, I'm going to play, but if the ball's on the floor, even if it might make the difference between a win and a loss, I ain't getting on the floor and hurting myself.
But in the end, when the injury does happen here for Zion, I mean, it's up to him. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, if he wants to keep going, then keep going. If he feels like there's too much of a risk there, then.
But I just hope he makes his own decision.
Exactly.
Because you're going to have too many influences that are going to be all about wanting to make their own money off
exactly.
of him. That's what I worry about with kids like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty interesting thing. And we'll get to the other thing that was crazy last night in college basketball. A team losing thanks to a fan throwing a stuffed animal on the court. Did you see that?
I actually didn't see that one.
Oh, my. Yeah, we'll share that coming up in a little bit. All right, local sports. Let's start with our athletes of the week, because we say plural athletes of the week. We have 12 of them, technically.
Yeah, the members of the Blewett Trojan Boys Varsity Basketball Team are the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week. Definitely a regular season to remember here in 2018-19, winning the NCAA League Championship with a 12-0 record, 19-1 going into the postseason now. First league title for Blewett since the 13-14 season. They went 12-0 that year as well. The highlight of this year was a sweep over Sacred Heart, obviously, which ended a four-year run for the Knights at the top of the league. And then back on January 24th, probably the biggest highlight of the league season anyway, was snapping that 45-game win streak for Sacred Heart and that victory in Beloit. The past week, Beloit picked up a 66-53 win over Minneapolis on Friday in Minneapolis to wrap up that undefeated league season, and then wrapped up their regular season with a 75-54 win over Smith Center on Tuesday. So terrific balance for Beloit this year. They had five guys averaging 7.5 points or more, and a lot of guys getting involved with this team and a very team concept that they had, and it led them to a undefeated league championship and athletes of the week here this week. So they'll open out sub-state play coming up Tuesday at 7 o'clock against Clay Center at home. So congratulations to the Beloit boys, the athletes of the week.
They're a complete team. They got size, 6'7", start, 6'5", off the bench. They rebound it well. They've got players that know their roles. There's no selfishness with this team. At least it doesn't show. They're nine players that play, a nine-player rotation. All nine could start anywhere else in the league. And the four coming off the bench don't complain and do a great job. And Coach Eilert goes with the best five at the end of the game. So it might be five that start, but it might be a different five that end the game. They can shoot the three. They've made 11 threes in a couple games. Six different players in one game made threes, which is insane. You can't key on one player. They've got depth. They've got size. They've got quickness. And the thing that's overlooked about this Beloit team is that their defense, their man-to-man defense, and they play man-to-man. Coach Eilert, he's played zone and man and box and one, triangle and two. He's done a lot of different things over the years as a head coach. This year, it's pretty much man-to-man. They played zone here and there, like they did the other night, but they're really good man-to-man, and they only given up 43 points a game. And that's how you win, you know, championships, quite honestly, is, yeah, you've got a decent offense, and they have a good offense, but when you can lock down people in situations where all of a sudden they make a run and you're up three and the game's on the line, like at Minneapolis, the midway through the third quarter, then they get a steal and a layup, and next thing you know, the thing all changes completely.
Yeah.
So you can get a lot of offense off your defense, and they've had a wonderful year. And the one loss they had was to Chapman, and Hudson Smith got hurt in the first quarter, I think it was first quarter, with an eye injury, and he's certainly a big part of their team.
Oh,
had he played the whole game, they might be undefeated. So, but now you can't afford to lose. The record doesn't mean anything now. 19-1 is nice, but it means nothing now as you go into sub-state play, which, speaking of sub-state, we'll go into that, then we'll get to regional basketball. Sub-state brackets came out.
Yes, and Beloit, we mentioned the boys are playing Clay Center Tuesday first round at 7 o'clock. This is part of the 3A Riley County sub-state. And then the Beloit girls, Rock Creek on Monday at 7 o'clock in their first round game at home. And that full bracket, by the way, and all the brackets are posted at nckssports.com. And then Smith Center in 2A is at the Leota Substate, and their first round games still as of now. The boys are going to go on Monday at 6 to Plainville, and the girls are going to go on Tuesday at 7 to Plainville. So we'll see if they get that changed. I know that Coach Lynn and Coach Buckmaster and everybody at Smith Center would rather just go one night to Plainville coming up next week. So we'll see if that ever changes or not. But right now it's boys Monday, girls Tuesday. One's at 6, one's at 7. That even makes it even more confusing. And we'll see how that goes. But again, full brackets are all at nckssports.com.
Hey, note to Plainville. All right, note to Plainville. If anybody out there tied to Plainville, put in a good word. Would Plainville want to make two bus trips back-to-back nights to Smith Center when they could play a doubleheader on Monday or Tuesday? Of course not.
No.
This is silly. All right, Plainville didn't even play Thursday either, right?
No,
so they had plenty.
Plenty
of time. You're worried about, well, we're going to play this game Monday, that's a day earlier than Tuesday, we need more time to prep. First of all, you played each other twice, so you know each other. You're league foes and rivals. And secondly, you didn't play on Thursday. Neither team did. Smith Center or Plainville. So nobody has an advantage. Plainville has an advantage already because they're having the games at home.
Yeah.
So do the smart thing. All right? We know that schools aren't like just overflowing with money. Everybody knows that. Why would you take two buses, one on a Monday, one on a Tuesday, have to pay the bus driver twice, then extra fuel for the school district and everything else, and then you're playing one game at 6 on Monday and the other game 7 on Tuesday, which that makes no sense either, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're already playing one at 6, just move the other one to 7:30, play the same night.
Yeah.
6 and 7:30 doubleheader. That's what pretty much everybody has done in the history of Kansas State postseason basketball. You have
it's
a chance.
Same matchup, same place.
In fact, sometimes it's been, hey, you have this matchup versus this matchup. Oh, well, it's this team versus this team. And one's going to be at home and one's going to be on the road. Oh, you know what? Yeah. We'll go ahead and give up our home games to save ourselves some money.
I did that one. Tipton did that one time.
Yeah.
When they were playing Tescott, the Tipton girls were either the one or two seed at regionals.
Uh-huh.
And the Tipton boys were the 5 and Tescott was the 4. So Tipton had to go to Tescott, and the girls were like, we'll just go to Tescott and play them.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I mean, obviously, that's
a
matchup.
You're
Tipton,
giving up a home court thing.
But Tipton's obviously, it was a team that was way better than Tescott at that time, and there wasn't really any doubt who was going to win the game. But it was, you know, some teams will do that just to save on.
But in this case, Plainville can easily, it should be Smith Center's call, in my opinion, because they're the ones that have to travel. Plainville shouldn't fight it. If they are fighting, it's ridiculous. And if it's just a miscommunication or whatever, who knows who's in charge? Maybe they think, well, we have to play Monday and Tuesday. That's what Keisha says. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You can work together, and you can save yourself 2 bus trips and fuel and paying a bus driver twice and then loading up the kids 2 separate times. And you got the administrator that's usually got to go. So then, you know, if I don't know who is the administrator that's going to go to Smith Center, but you got to go to Plainville twice when you can just go one night. I'm sure the administrators would like to, hey, let's just make it a one-night thing, a doubleheader. Both games are at Plainville. You got home court advantage. Play them both on Monday. Play them both on Tuesday. I don't care what day. And you solve the problem. It's just flat out silly. And I don't understand why you're going to play at 6. You're moving up an hour on Monday. I don't know what that – there's not supposed to be severe weather Monday. But interesting. I would hope common sense would prevail and Smith Center and Plainville would play a doubleheader 6 and 7:30. I would think Monday would be the way to do
it. That's what Smith Center is wanting.
That's what they want to do, and they might. They should. They should. But we shall see what they decide. But hopefully common sense will prevail on that deal because – having them separate nights and making 2 trips to Plainville is just not smart.
No.
Okay. So the sub-state brackets posted ncksports.com. The Bullet Boys have a rematch against Clay Center. Bullet Girls will play Rock Creek. They haven't played Rock Creek. I don't know if they've ever played them in girls basketball.
I did a Bullet Rock Creek game, I think, the year before you came here.
I'm sure they have.
In the first round of sub-state.
Not very many meetings probably over the course of time. So, and I know the girls of Beloit are happy that they don't face a league team, and I'm sure Minneapolis is happy they don't have to face Beloit either because you play each other a third time in the first round of sub-state. So that worked out with Beloit's win the other night. Okay, regional basketball, we've got a lot of it tonight, tomorrow, and then maybe or maybe not on Saturday, but depending on the weather. We've got the Hill City Regional covered tonight. Then we'll cover the Solomon and Hill City Regionals coming up tomorrow and on Saturday, weather permitting. So I will hand it off to Dusty and let him know what's going on tonight.
I'll start with Solomon because we're going to hear more from the Hill City Regional here that we're going to be covering on our station here on Katie Country 94. But it's Solomon tonight, Southern Cloud against Lincoln, and a 2-2 versus 3 at 6 o'clock in the semifinals of that 1A Regional. And also St. John's Tipton is taking on Solomon, the host school, at 7:30 here this evening in 1A Regional action. So that's what's going on there in Solomon. And Sylvan Lucas also, by the way, at home tonight. They take on Otis Bison at 7:30. Number 1 team in the state, Central Plains, plays Victoria at 6 o'clock in Sylvan Grove tonight. So if you're not going anywhere and want to see the number 1 team in the state, you could go down to Sylvan Grove if you don't have anything else going on here. That'd be tonight and tomorrow night with the boys. But if you do want to go to these other games that we're talking about, and or if you can't make it, you can listen on the radio to Hill City in the 1A Regional tonight. We're at 6 o'clock. It'll be Lakeside against Osborne for the third time this season. We'll have pregame coverage around 5:45, 5:50 coming up behind our high school basketball locker room chats tonight with St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. And then we'll lead into pregame here this evening with Lakeside and Osborne girls. And then following that will be number 1 seed Thunder Ridge against the number 4 seed Stockton at 7:30 here this evening. So that's what's on our stations, and that's what's coming up tonight in 1A regional basketball. So obviously in that –
now, you said Lakeside Osborne played 3 times. This will be a third time. Can you let people know what happened the first time?
That's what I'm going into now when I preview it.
Okay.
The first time Osborne won by 12 at the preseason tournament back on December 7th, and Lakeside won on January 25th by a 42-38. So it's a rubber match here between the two teams as Osborne and Lakeside get set to take the floor tonight. And Kayla Corbett, the coach of the Osborne Lady Bulldogs, talking about maybe some of the things they'd like to do different this third time after losing the second time to Lakeside.
Yesterday we worked really hard on rebounding because I think, you know, we thought that was one thing that we didn't do a very good job of in the second game. So we worked hard on some rebounding. And the other thing is we know each other. And what can we come up with? What can we work on? What can we do differently than the first two times? And I think when we come out, we'll be able to do some things differently and kind of throw them off the tracks a little bit.
And Travis Eberle, that was Kayla Corbett for Osborne head coach. Travis Eberle, coach of the Lady Knights. Kind of the same thing, talking about that familiarity between the two teams and going into the third matchup tonight.
We know what they do. We know what we do. And I feel like if, you know, we come out and execute and play good defense and, you know, take care of the shooters, stay out of foul trouble, that's something we've kind of been struggling with, too. And that's all because of energy, I think. You know, we get lazy on defense, pick up some fouls that we probably wouldn't usually do. And, you know, we just got to play good basketball. And Osmond is going to bring their A game, and we got to bring our A game. And, you know, it's probably going to be a battle, but hopefully we're the on-top team when it comes to the end.
So again, Lakeside Osborne tonight. You got 11-9 Lakeside against 10-9 Osborne. You can tell both coaches feel fairly confident about what they can do, mm-hmm. and could be able to pick up a win here tonight. And it's whoever executes the best, whoever turns the ball over less, and cherishes those possessions here tonight is going to be the team that comes out with the win. There's no question about that because they're two evenly matched teams. I've done both games this year, and it's all about execution at this point of the season.
Well, so you decided on the court, you had a neutral floor, and you split the first two, let the best team win tonight.
Yeah, exactly. So in the second game, 7:30 here this evening, number one Thunder Ridge is 17-2. Stockton comes in at 8-12. I warn everybody, don't pay attention too much to Stockton's 8-12 record. They play in a very, very tough league this year. Norton, TMP, Trigo are all great teams from the Mid-Continent League. That's just part of it that Stockton plays in. And Darren Grauerholtz, the head coach of the Lady Longhorns, kind of echoing that, knowing that that record might not be indicative of what Stockton actually is.
If they was over here in our league, you know, maybe they would only have four or five losses, you know. But it is tough to gauge. Some of the scores are puzzling to me, but they're a good bunch and they're young. I mean, they don't have a senior on the squad. They play some freshmen, so I think if we can keep the pressure on them, I think that's going to be the key, and that's one thing that we've done very well all year.
Yep, Stockton and Thunder Ridge tonight, 7:30 tip. So Stockton, in the past, a couple of years actually, they made it out to state, but a team that lost a lot of seniors and experience there. They've got Shea Griffin there, a junior that has had a lot of experience, even played a lot as a freshman, but she's a junior now, like I said, and she's going to lead that team. But there's only six girls that are really playing in the rotation for Stockton, but they're getting better as the season goes on. So again, I'd be wary a little bit if I was Thunder Ridge and ready for this game for sure, not looking past a team with an 8-12 record. So we'll look forward to it tonight. Lakeside and Osborne at 6 and Stockton Thunder Ridge at 7:30. Pregame coverage about 5:45 or 5:50 here this evening.
And just remember, regionals, you have to make it to the regional finals,
yep.
and you qualify for sub-state. So this is a playoff game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
For both these teams. It's for all four teams involved. Anybody playing tonight in regional play and tomorrow night, these are survive and advance. And if you lose, your season is over. Now, if you win, you can play a little bit loose. You're in the regional championship knowing you're going to the next round, which is sub-state. A little bit different because you added the regional round to Class 1A like it used to be. Whereas once you get the sub-state play at all classifications, you have to win the tournament.
Yeah.
The four-team tournament and 1A sub-state next week, the eight-team tournaments, there is no second place gets you anywhere. But it does in regionals. So just to let people know, the winners of these games tonight have qualified for sub-state. The losers will be done for the year. So everything riding in the balance.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and obviously if you win, you want to win the next game too. You don't want to play too loose if you're somebody like the Osborne boys and might end up getting caught up.
True.
And on this side of the bracket, Thunder Ridge is the same. You don't want to play too loose, maybe get a loss. You might end up having to play Central Plains at sub-state. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to get yourself in that position if you don't have to. But it is – tonight you win, you got another week in your season.
Yep. So no we'll matter see. What happens yep. on Saturday,
practices, and then you'll play next Thursday to start out sub-state for the girls, and then Friday for the boys. So
all right, so a lot of basketball action taking place. If you missed any of that, it's available at ncksports.com. And tomorrow night, I'll be in Hill City as it'll be the boys' semifinals, Lakeside versus Stockton, which will be an interesting game. Osborne, the heavy favorite against Logan, but as you said, they can't look past them. And then Dusty will be in Solomon tomorrow night. Rock Hills boys against Southern Cloud. St. John's Tipton versus Solomon. And then that'll be on Z96.3 Lake, the semifinals of Hill City, Mulcahy Country 94. And then, weather permitting, we'll have regional championship games, if we have area teams involved, which we should, at Hill City and Solomon coming up on Saturday. And if you thought that was a lot, we do have state wrestling reports as well. We have a lot of area wrestlers competing at the 3-2-1A State Wrestling Tournament in Hayes coming up on Friday and Saturday. Our first report will begin at 10:30 on Friday morning. We'll have reports top and bottom of the hour all the way probably till 3:30. And then, of course, we're heading out to the games at Hill City and Solomon for Friday. And then we'll give you updates throughout both of those basketball broadcasts on how wrestlers and teams are doing from our area at the 3-2-1A State Wrestling Tournament in Hayes. Speaking of that, Beloit will have a send-off for their state wrestlers taking place at 5 p.m. today at the high school gymnasium. And all the brackets and matchups are posted for state wrestling at ncksports.com. Have a few state champions, I would believe. Certainly Zane Colson would be one that pops in my head.
Yeah, Zane probably got the best chance there at doing that. And obviously, if anybody that puts together a good day or two can get themselves in a position to do that. So I know that's obviously the big goal for Zane, a four-time state qualifier, and he's undefeated this season, number one at 152. So we'll be able to track all that coming up tomorrow and Saturday, and hopefully we have a lot of kids bringing home medals and maybe some teams bringing home trophies as well.
That's right. Best of luck to them. Wichita State wins last night in college basketball. They win at Tulsa 81-60. That's a team that K-State lost to earlier this year, 47-46.
Just because of Tulsa twice and K-State lost.
And K-State couldn't beat them. I mean, Wichita State's clearly better than K-State. Everybody obviously knows that, obviously. 13-12 overall, Wichita State. And they are 6-7 now in conference play. And Greg Marshall talks about his team, which they do seem to be coming around. Although you look at the teams they've beaten, it's not the best of the league.
Dexter Dennis was fantastic with his ability to rise up and hit shots, 6 of 9. The one that he missed in the first half, he was a little off balance, leaning back in the left corner, but tremendous. And you know, Eric got involved at the end. He made one, and then he had another good look, but he was too far off the line. He was probably 5 feet off the line, but he knocked down three. And we shot 15 for 33 without Marcus shooting the ball well. And Marcus did a lot of good things tonight defensively and whatnot, but he was 0 for 6, so we still shot 46%.
Shockers win 81-60 at Tulsa last night. They'll be in action at home Saturday night at 7 at Coke Arena against Memphis, and then they'll also be hosting UConn next Thursday. They have played better at home than on the road, which is what most teams typically do. Crazy game last night, Georgia and Mississippi State. Georgia, a team not going anywhere, not having a good year at all. Neither team ranked, but still an interesting game and would have caught a lot more attention had Zion Williamson not got hurt or Duke Carolina didn't play last night. This would have been the lead on SportsCenter, but it wasn't because of the other stuff there at in Durham. That's where the game was played, North Carolina at Duke. Georgia, their head coach is Tim Crean, who used to be head coach at Indiana. And here's the situation. Georgia was down 17. They came back and tied the game. The game is at home. Home of the Bulldogs, Georgia. Of course, it was Georgia versus Mississippi State, so it was Bulldogs versus Bulldogs. And the game's tied. Mississippi State gets fouled. They go to the line for 2 free throws. The kid misses the first one. But then somebody throws a stuffed animal, a Georgia Bulldog stuffed animal, onto the floor near the free throw shooter. So it slides across the floor. The officials stop play. They go. They grab it. Then there's a conversation, and they assessed a technical foul on Georgia's crowd for their rudeness, or in this case, throwing a stuffed animal. I don't know if there was issues early in the game or not. So as a result, Mississippi State gets to shoot a technical free throw, and they make it, and they end up winning the game by 1 point. Now, this is interesting because, and I saw this online, and it's a good point. What if a Mississippi State fan wanted to throw something, or you had a Georgia item, whatever it may be? What's preventing a visiting fan throwing something on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
And the home team usually is the one who gets punished because it's at their floor.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting. At the same time, you can't allow somebody to just throw something on the floor. But no. I also believe you. The first thing you should do is you. It wouldn't be that hard to find this person because they threw it. It wasn't that far from the floor. They had some pricey seats, I'm guessing. And just throw the person out without punishing the team. The team had nothing to do with it. So I'm kind of caught in between on this one because the team doesn't deserve that. They came all the way back, and then some fan had to be stupid and throw something onto the floor. Luckily, it wasn't like a bottle. Of course, they probably don't serve bottles at the college games, but a can or whatever else. You know, it was a stuffed animal. But that's just, there's no place for it in sports to be throwing anything on the field or floor at all, unless it's encouraged, like a hat trick, and you throw a hat in hockey. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. I just don't think it's fair to the coach and his team to be punished for that.
Snowballs out onto the football field, almost hitting Andrew, like the punter. Was it the punter for the Colts, or was it Andrew Luck?
Yeah, it was the punter.
Mm-hmm. And
how about the Chiefs fan that's being prosecuted for the laser light in Tom Brady's
eyes? Exactly. Just all that kind of stuff.
But the Chiefs didn't get a penalty for any of that stuff.
No.
But they were going to. They talked to Andy Reid, remember, because there was more snowballs came out. Snowballs, and they said if it keeps happening, they would have got a penalty.
But, yeah, I agree. There's no reason to be throwing stuff on the playing surface at all. Like I say, unless the hat trick in hockey is about the only thing I can think of that there's going to be a reason to throw something onto the playing surface. But, yeah, that's wild. Tom Crean, I saw a story on it. Tom Crean said he didn't get any warning. Like, there was no warning of
so usually there's warnings on that.
Of misconduct or anything like that. He's like, you've never seen anything like it. He didn't get an explanation, he said, either, like, as to why they gave a technical right away without giving a warning. So that's wild.
That is a horrible way to lose a game.
Not a way to lose,
It's a horrible way to lose. As a coach, how do you explain that? Your kids didn't do anything wrong in that situation at that time. And here's a sad story that happened last night. This just broke. This is breaking news. Syracuse men's basketball coach Jim Boeheim struck and killed a man walking outside his vehicle on Interstate 690 around midnight last night. The man in his 30s had been in a car with four others near Thompson Road in Syracuse when their vehicle crashed for unknown reasons. The man at some point got out of his vehicle. That's when Jim Boeheim, the head coach of Syracuse, drove by and struck the pedestrian. Boeheim was given a routine blood alcohol content test and had no alcohol in the system. He was interviewed by police and released. Friends and family tell Syracuse.com and the Post-Standard that Boeheim does not drink alcohol. Boeheim says he will issue a statement here later today. And Syracuse, with a big win, they blew out Louisville last night at the Carrier Dome. The game ended around 9, and then Jim Boeheim, you know, is driving home after the game. And it wasn't the greatest weather conditions, it sounds like, either. And they said, according to what I've read, he was not speeding. He passed the blood alcohol test. He didn't have any alcohol in his system. This just sounds like a horrible accident.
Yeah.
And I know Jim Boeheim's got all the money in the world, and he's a popular guy. He's also a person still. And my dad, I've talked about this before, my dad was driving a semi when some guys were there. I think it was a construction crew or something, or oil crew. They were driving. They had five or six guys in this pickup truck, and they had a trailer on the back, and they were driving. Well, they after the accident and everything, they found empty whiskey bottles and things like that under the seat. They were you know, driving drunk. The guy that drove was drunk. They crossed from Interstate 70 going eastbound. They came across the median, four lane, of course, Interstate 70. My dad was going to the west. They were going to the east, came all the way across the median in their vehicle. My dad's getting this big semi, and he sees it, but not soon enough to where he can just hit the brakes and completely come to a stop. And that truck goes right in the path of my dad's semi, and he can't do anything. Semi hits him, you know, going whatever speed it was, and that truck with its impact. And there's a couple of people that were killed in that accident. My dad did nothing wrong. My dad still, to this day, you know, he had to deal with some things after that mentally because he didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't driving drunk like these people were, or that person was. And he felt horrible. He's like, well, if I'd been paying attention, I could have maybe saw it sooner and I could have stopped. Well, who's to say somebody wouldn't have rear-ended him and my dad would have been killed? You don't know. And my dad, just like a normal human being, you would be just like, what could I have done differently? You would replay that back in your head. I mean, you do that in sports just when you lose a basketball game. Imagine if somebody dies. Whether you were at fault or not, you just have to sit here and go, well, what could I have done differently? My dad beat himself up about that for quite some time, and he did nothing wrong. I cannot imagine, and I would not want to be in Jim Boeheim's shoes today, even though he's got all the money in the world, he's a great basketball coach, and he's got a basketball team. Listen, Jim Boeheim today, I'm going to tell you what, his focus is not on basketball.
No.
He killed a man, and he didn't. It was an accident, it sounds like. And yet, even though he didn't do anything wrong, according to all the reports, this makes national news because he's a celebrity, of course. And he's going to have to live with that for the rest of his life, whether he took his eyes off the road. Maybe he didn't do anything wrong at all. and the weather wasn't the best. I don't know, and I'm not going to jump to conclusions, but I feel obviously sorry, and prayers go out to the family of the person that was killed, no question. But also prayers go out to Jim Boeheim, because if he didn't do anything wrong, and even if he did, you got to live with that as well. You know, we sit here and we think everybody's got it better than everybody else, or this person's got it great. We have no idea what those people are going through in their lives. There could be something behind closed doors. They could have problems in their marriage. They could have problems with kids not behaving. They could have all kinds of issues going on, dealing with depression. Who knows what it might be? And this situation, you come back, you're probably feeling good about a big win over Louisville, great win for Syracuse. They got Duke coming into their house, coming up on Saturday, a primetime game on ESPN, and Jim Boeheim is now obviously going to be, if he's regular human, he's going to be really focused on, oh my God, I killed a man, you know, accident. Hopefully it was just an accident. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine what he's going. I can't imagine what he's going through to an extent, because my dad dealt with this, but I personally have not dealt with it, and I hope I never do.
I can't imagine. I actually know somebody that had run over a lady that I think hit a deer,
mm-hmm.
and some papers blew out of her car, and she was trying to track him down and then got hit by a car.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, and those kind of things happen is what I'm mm-hmm. saying. Like, they're accidents that just happen. And there was one night I was going to visit my sister in Newton. It's dark outside, and there's a lady on the side of the road changing a tire.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see her on the interstate. There's no street lights on the interstate,
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad I was looking and paying attention. I mean, you just look down for a split second at any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doesn't people do that? They look over here, see what's mm-hmm. going on this side of the road, or whatever, and accidents can happen. And I'm like, I'm always nervous sometimes driving at night,
sure.
when I see vehicles on the side of the road or something like that. Is there a person attached there? Right. Are they running out? And like, I don't like driving at night, because of all the creatures,
right.
like the deer and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, you can see how accidents can happen. And then obviously you factor in maybe the weather's not the greatest and conditions aren't the greatest. And you can see how it can happen. And that will stick with you. I mean, if you're human, that stays with you.
Also, what's scary to me is folks that are always looking at their phone when they're driving, or they're texting when they're driving. And especially if you're in a neighborhood. You know, a kid can run out after a ball, and if you got your head down, you're going to just crush that person, and or anybody, not just a kid. It could be an adult or whatever the case may be. It's so important to pay attention when you're driving, and in some cases, you can pay attention all you want,
exactly.
and maybe you just don't have the depth perception, or something just happens, and it's too late. You can't do anything. Whether you're involved in something like that, I just want to say that nobody deserves to deal with that, whether it was an accident or somebody was at fault. In a situation like, hey, you know, I looked down to grab something I dropped, and that was an accident. You didn't purposely do it. It was an accident, and you could say, wow, why did I have to look down? It wasn't that important. And then there might be a situation where you're paying attention, but it's just, there's nothing you can do. Like my dad, when he was on interstate that day, just don't wish that on anybody. Now, I don't think I have enemies, but if I did, I wouldn't even wish that on my enemy. At all.
No, not at all. That's nothing you want to deal with ever.
Wow. Well, it'll be interesting to see how Syracuse handles all that, and if Jim Boeheim will actually even coach on Saturday against Duke. I mean, I would guess he would, but you just never know. Everybody deals with things differently. All right, we're going to talk some Royals, but we run out of time. We got plenty of time to talk Royals. Spring training, of course, going on. If we have time tomorrow, I want to talk about the Royals and the right fielder position, because there's three or four guys vying for the job in right field, and a couple do have options that could be sent down the minors, and another that's coming off injury last year, and another that was, he failed a drug test or a PED test and missed half of last season. So it's an interesting right field battle for the Kansas City Royals, and we'll talk about that tomorrow on the Sports Ticket. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, is on the way. KU with some big games at Texas Tech Saturday, host K-State on Monday. Enjoy regional basketball tonight, as it will be Osborne Lakeside Girls at 6 o'clock, Thunder Ridge Stockton Girls 7:30 approximately. Pregame about 5:45, 5:50 tonight after our locker room chats right here on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com.